Harry Stevens. I want to continue to pray for Mark. He's been battling brain cancer over the last year and a half, and perhaps you've seen him and his wife, Terry, here before. They come with the masks at various times, and he went through treatment, and they thought it was gone. It turned up again this last week. He's back in Houston, and they're doing more radical treatment with him. So I want to pray as a congregation for Mark and Terry Stevens, and I'd like you to keep that that couple in your hearts and prayers over the coming week. So would you pray with me for them? Father, we want to lift up Mark and Terry. Oh, Lord, this is a situation that we just throw at your feet. We just ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. We pray that your presence would be so unmistakable to Mark and Terry right now. And Father, we continue to pray that you would touch Mark's brain and that you would bring a healing touch to him and that it would be done for your glory and that many would hear of the miracle and come to faith in you. Oh, comfort them. Minister your love and peace to them. And now, Lord, I pray that you would do work in our brains, in our hearts, in our souls. As we give our attention now to your word, I pray that you would speak, that you would convict, that you would point the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus is the greatest preacher who ever lived. Don't you agree? And I believe the greatest sermon that was ever preached was his sermon, his definitive sermon, the sermon that we know of as the Sermon on the Mount. What a powerful, awesome sermon that was, and how it changes people's lives. The full Sermon on the Mount is actually recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. We studied that sermon for about a year, a few years back on Sunday morning as a church. That's the full record of the sermon. Luke's Gospel contains an abbreviated version of that sermon, just the last part of Luke chapter 6. This morning, I want to look at a small portion of that sermon. The passage, the part where Jesus talks about fruit that comes out of a person's life. Would you look at Luke chapter 6? Look at verses 43 through 45. Jesus says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush." Now, one of the things I so appreciate and love about Jesus is how simple he is in his teaching. I love the fact that he just uses simple language. It's not profound, theological, lofty language. And he uses very simple illustrations that we can easily grasp. Isn't this a simple illustration? This is something that you can just know by common sense, that you can understand by basic observational skills. What is Jesus teaching us about trees? What's to be understood about trees here? Very simple. Good trees produce good fruit, right? Bad trees produce bad fruit. So there are good trees out there that produce good edible fit, useful fruit. Like banana trees, apple trees, fig trees, peach trees, cherry trees. Then there are bad trees out there that produce inedible, bad, unfit, useless fruit of no value. Like thorn trees, thorn bushes, briars, brambles, weeds. Question, how do you know if a tree is a good tree or a bad tree? The fruit, right? The proof is in the fruit. If, and Jesus says, every tree is known by its own fruit. So what makes a fig tree a fig tree? Makes figs. If you're hungry for a fig, you go find a fig tree, not a tumbleweed, right? Actually, you go to the supermarket, but you know what I'm saying. If you see a tree that's producing thorns, what kind of a tree is it? It's a thorn tree. So there are good trees, there are bad trees, and the fruit proves what kind of tree each tree is, bad or good. Simple. Obvious. Now look how Jesus applies it in verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's the simple, plain understanding there? There are good men who produce good fruit out of good hearts. There are evil people who produce evil fruit out of evil hearts. How do you know if a person is a good person or an evil person? By the fruit. The proof is in the fruit. So the fruit of a person's life determines whether that person is good or evil. We can understand trees producing fruit. But what kind of fruit does a person produce? What does the Bible mean by fruit when it's applied to a human being? I think it refers to a lot of things. And what I'd like to do this morning is just sort of divide it up into two general categories as we proceed. And let's talk about fruit category number one. Character, conduct, speech. The Bible teaches that the fruit of a person's life is the exhibited character, the behavior, the speech of a person. So, good fruit from a person's life is good character, good conduct, good speech. Bad fruit from a person's life is bad character, bad conduct, bad speech. And it's very clear here that Jesus does have speech in mind when he's speaking about fruit here from a person's life. The spoken word. So without a doubt, speech is definitely the fruit of a person's life. Look what it says at the end of verse 45. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The words that come out of your mouth The things that you say, the things that you speak, that is a fruit of your life. What are some examples of good speech? How about words of encouragement? Oh, to speak words that genuinely encourage other people. That's good fruit. Words of sympathy. Words of compassion. Words of comfort. If you can say words that brings genuine comfort to another human being, that is good fruit. Speaking truth. Speaking honestly. Those are good words. Words of cheerfulness. All that is good fruit. Speaking words that glorify God, that give thanks unto God. Speaking words that bring praise to God. That is good, good fruit. That should be a very common aspect of a good person's speech, bringing praise to God. Hebrews chapter 13 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Listen, if you genuinely speak that way, if you could hear yourself talk and you heard words like that bubbling over out of your heart, that's good fruit. That's an indication that you're a good person, that you've been given a good heart. How about evil speech? Evil words. What are some examples of that? Well, profanity, cursing, dirty conversation, dirty jokes, sexual innuendos, trash talk, verbal abuse, cutting other people down with your words. That's bad fruit. Lying words, falsehood words, words of bitterness, words of anger, words of complaining and murmuring. And then, of course, words that would blaspheme the name of God. If you could hear yourself speak, what kind of words most often come out of your mouth? Are they like that? That would be bad fruit. That would indicate that you're an evil person, that you have an evil heart. How about conduct and character? The Bible says that your behavior and your character, that's a form of fruit from your life. Would you leave a finger here and turn to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. This chapter gives you a couple of lists. One's a good list, one's a bad list. Let's look at the good list first. Good fruit, good conduct, good character. Verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's good fruit. That's good character. That's good conduct. Look through that list a little closer. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's agape in the Greek. That's the highest form of love. That's true Christian love. That's Christ-like love. That's unconditional love. That's sacrificial love. That's love that continues even when it hurts. Paul the Apostle defines that love for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll just read it. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. If you have love like that in your heart, and it's overflowing out of your life, good, good fruit. Awesome, wonderful fruit. It says after love, joy. True Christian joy. It speaks of a person who has contentment and satisfaction on the inside, and so on the outside, they're just full of joy, blessed, happy. After joy, it says peace. Again, that would be an inner tranquility, an inner peace in your life, an inner security that makes you peaceful on the outside, hopeful, cheerful, controlled on the outside. It would also speak of having harmonious, peaceful relationships with other people in your life. That is fruit. That's good fruit. Long suffering. Patience in the midst of affliction. Sufferings. Annoyances. Good fruit. Kindness, that speaks of somebody who has a very kind and gentle spirit. So, you're a person who is kind and gentle with other people. Goodness refers to acts of goodness done to other people. Being good to other people. You're known as one who does good to other people. Faithfulness. Loyalty. Fidelity. This is a person who is faithful and trustworthy and loyal to their spouse, to parents, to a best friend. That is good, good fruit. Gentleness, another word. That could be translated to is meekness. That means someone who is willing to be low. Someone who is willing to serve. Someone who's willing to step out of the way to let other people shine. Meekness, gentleness. Self-control. Temperate. Discipline. A person who is able to restrain their passions. Their appetites. Look at that list. Isn't that a beautiful list? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. That is good fruit. And if those kinds of things are consistently displayed by you, through you, then you're a good person. You've got a good heart. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Righteous living. Living according to the moral standards of God. Living according to the principles of purity and morality that you find in Scripture. Romans says you have your fruit to holiness. That means you live a holy life. You are living a life that's pleasing to God. This is a good life. The good person exhibits these things consistently. Nobody is perfect this side of heaven. But a good person will consistently have these kinds of qualities, characteristics, the proof is in the fruit. I see bananas on that tree. It's a banana tree. I see peace and joy and love and long suffering on that person. It's a good person. How about evil conduct, evil character? Let's look at the ugly list now. Up there in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, that is marital unfaithfulness. That is a person who is married, having a sexual relationship of any kind with somebody other than their spouse. That's adultery. Fornication, that's the Greek word porneia. That's where we get the word pornography. That would speak of any unlawful sex. Sex outside of marriage. Adultery would be included in that word. Homosexuality. Bestiality. Pornography. All of that contained in that word. Uncleanness. That speaks of moral uncleanness. That speaks of a person who is morally bankrupt. This speaks of a person who doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. They just live these unclean, immoral lives. Lewdness. Lewdness. That's shameful conduct. That's brazen sin. That's in your face sin. The person like that lives life with a license to do whatever they want, and they're in your face about it. Bad fruit. Verse 20, idolatry. Worshipping anything or anyone above the living God is bad fruit. Sorcery. The dark arts. The occult, witchcraft, astrology. The Greek word, interesting enough, is pharmakia. Pharmacy, like drugs. In those days, the sorcerers would use drugs and potions. And so it is not a far stretch to say that that word today could mean drug abuse. Filling your body with illegal substances. It's bad fruit. Hatred. Hatred. Isn't that a strong word? This is when people absolutely hate other people. Feelings of strong malice towards other people. Contentions. You know what that word means? That word speaks of a person who just loves to fight. This is the person who loves to go around in life and just kick fights with people. Beat up people. Get in verbal fights with people. This is the one who just loves to strive and quarrel. They live for it. They're contentious. Jealousies. In the original language, in the original word, it speaks of somebody who is distrusting of other people, suspicious of other people. Always thinking that other people are out to get them, sort of paranoid delusion. Totally insecure, jealous of everybody in their life, suspicious of everybody. That type of person, that's bad character, that's bad fruit. Outbursts of wrath. Uncontrollable fits of rage. Anger. This is scary anger. This is anger that turns somebody into a monster. Causes people to get scared. selfish ambitions. This speaks of the person who will do whatever it takes to be number one. At any cost, and it doesn't matter if it hurts anybody else, this is a person who is living only for number one, and it only matters that they reach the top. You may have met some of those types of people in your career, in your office. These are the type that will stab you in the back. These are the type that will do whatever it takes to get the promotion ahead of you. Perhaps you're like that person. I hope not. Selfish ambition. Dissensions and heresies, that speaks of people who are divisive. These type of people go into wherever they go in life and they bring division. They go into a church, they bring division. They bring division in a home. They bring division in a business. In any type of organization, these are the people that come in and wherever they go, they just leave a trail of division and hurt. They destroy harmony among people. Envy. This is the person who gets extremely bummed out when other people are successful and prosperous. This is the person who wants all of it for themselves, and they hate it when other people do better than them. Murders. Unlawful killing. Obvious bad fruit, right? Drunkenness, getting intoxicated on strong drink. Revelries and the like, that word revelries speaks of riotous gatherings. That is the party. The pagan party. That would be the rave. That would be the nightclub scene. That would be the drug houses. All of those are examples of bad fruit. And isn't that an ugly list? Oh, it's so ugly. And let me tell you, there's so much destruction there. There's so much hurt and pain in that list. And by the way, this list is glorified in our country. You can see this entire list at work every night on your TV. In the movie theaters. Adultery, murders, fornication, selfish ambition, being number one. All that's absolutely glorified in our society, but it is bad fruit, indicating evil hearts. Evil people. Does that type of lifestyle characterize you? Is this you? The proof is in the fruit. I see thorns on that thorn bush. It's a thorn bush. I see evil on that person. That's an evil person. So that's category one of fruit. Your conduct, your speech, your character. Fruit category number two, and I won't spend as much time on this one, but let's call that converts and influence. Converts and influence. I believe that the Bible teaches that our influence on other people is a fruit out of our life. So good fruit is having a good influence on other people. Bad fruit is having a bad influence on other people. The idea is this. What do people become like after they hang out with you? Where do you lead people? How do you influence people? Good fruit. Good influence. Examples of that, well, the ultimate influence, the ultimate good influence that you can have on another person is to lead those people to Jesus Christ. Amen? The best influence that you can have on another human being is to draw people to the Savior. to lead people to Christ, to draw people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle spoke of converts in his ministry as fruit. He said to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, "Brethren, I often planned to come to you that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles." Seeing people come to Christ through your life, by your witness, that's fruit. Jesus also said of his people that they're to go forth and make disciples. Watching other people come closer to Jesus and becoming more and more like disciples of Jesus through your life, that's good fruit. That's good influence. Having a life that leads other people in the good life. Being a positive influence. Good peer pressure. That's good influence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." That's good influence. You're stirring up love and good works in other people's lives. Bad fruit would be bad influence, where by your life you actually bring people down. You lead people astray. You lead people away from Christ, not to Christ. That's the worst influence that you could have. And let me tell you, anybody who leads people away from Jesus Christ is evil. They're in big trouble. Because Jesus Christ is the only answer. Many people will seek to lead people away from Jesus. You got to be careful. The professors in the colleges seek to lead people away from Jesus Christ through academics and intellect and study and their evolutionary theories and such. I heard recently of a professor in a institution who just absolutely loves it when he gets a conservative evangelical Christian that's grown up in a Christian home. His goal becomes to destroy that person's faith when they come to college. Evil heart, evil fruit. Anybody who would lead you away from Jesus Christ, even if they're leading you into a religion, is evil. Some of the most religious people who have ever walked on the face of this planet were the Pharisees and the scribes in the days of Jesus. And they wanted everybody to be a part of their religion. But in becoming a part of their religion, they led people away from Jesus Christ. So Jesus said to them one day, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Whoa! Bad influence is leading people away from Jesus Christ. And then, of course, leading people into an immoral lifestyle. Bad peer pressure. The person who says, "Hey, you can leave your wife, no big deal. You can cheat. Come on, let's go out and party." Bad fruit. Bad influence. I ask you this morning, what type of person are you? Where does the fruit in your life lead to? What's the evidence? Are you a good person or are you an evil person? Is your life most consistently exhibiting good things? Are your words most consistently exhibiting good words? Do people become better generally because they know you? Or if you look at your life, is it more evil? The words that you say. When people come into contact with you, are they led away from Christ? Do they become better or do they become worse? Proof is in the fruit. What kind of person are you? Are you good or are you evil? Don't answer that question yet. We need to go just a little bit deeper. Look back in Luke chapter 6. I want you to notice a very, very important word in verse 45, and it's a very important concept that we need to consider this morning. The word heart shows up three times in verse 45. Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The heart of the matter is the heart. Now, this word heart here in verse 45 is not speaking of the physical organ in your chest that beats and pumps blood throughout your body. Here the word heart speaks to the inner you, the real you, the center of you. The heart is the seat of your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, your passions, your impulses. The real you deep down on the inside. And Jesus is making it very clear here that your heart is the root of the fruit. Right? The heart is really the source of goodness and evil. If your heart is evil, then evil will flow from it. It'll bubble out. If your heart is good, there'll be good things that come out of you. The heart is the root of the fruit. So, understand this. A person who is truly, truly good in the eyes of man and God has a good heart and good fruit. There's goodness on the inside that results in goodness on the outside. There's inner beauty. There's inner good as well as outer. I need to mention that this morning because people are a lot more complicated than trees. There are people that put on great shows. They look really good. They pretend. And maybe around church people, they're, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Good. But the heart is filthy. And they're hypocrites. They're wearing masks. There's no genuine goodness in the heart, which translate into genuine good works. And then there are a number of people who walk around on this planet thinking that they're just good. I'm a good person. I never killed anybody. And they just go around thinking they're good and they compare themselves. And you know what? If you look at their life, maybe they don't look as bad as some of those notorious sinners out there. But But the undeniable message of the Bible is that your heart has to be good in order for truly good fruit to be produced from your life. And listen up. That transformation of a heart can't happen through education. It cannot happen by changing somebody's environment. It can only happen by the transforming touch of Jesus Christ. The only way that a human heart can be changed into something that's good is by the touch of Jesus Christ. Our hearts must be transformed. The Bible teaches that the human heart is wicked, evil. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Who can know it? That's how we're born into this world, folks. We're born with depraved hearts. Evil hearts, wicked hearts, hearts that have turned from the living God. Listen to how the Bible describes the human being who is apart from Jesus Christ. I mean, this is not popular. You're not going to find this all over the news. But this is what the Bible describes the person before they come to Christ. In Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, I guarantee you, you're not going to find that in a self-help course somewhere, or in a popular psychology course. People are running around this country teaching us that people are basically good. That every person is really basically good in life. That's totally contrary to biblical truth. The Bible says that people are basically bad. Basically evil. And so we're born with these evil hearts that are far from God. And it's from these evil hearts, these wickedness, that the acts of wickedness come forth. But Jesus can change our hearts. God can change a human's heart. It's the greatest miracle that can be done. Ezekiel chapter 36, the prophet says, speaking the words of God, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." The gospel changes hearts. Jesus changes hearts. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to come here to live a perfect life and to be our Savior. The perfect Savior went to the cross, took our sins upon him, died in our place, rose again the third day, and is alive today. And the scripture, the gospel, is so beautiful. If you will put your faith in Christ Jesus, if you will confess that he is Lord and Savior and understand what his death on the cross means for you and invite him into your heart, put your faith and trust in him, all of your sins are forgiven, and he gives you a brand new heart. You become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus doesn't just come in and sort of patch up your heart. He replaces it. It is a brand new heart. You put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, at that moment you become a brand new creation. There is an amazing transformation that takes place in you. And only then can there be true, genuine acts of kindness and gentleness and love that flow from your heart and out of your life. He transforms you on the inside. Jesus transforms from the inside out. A truly good person is a true born-again Christian who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and been transformed on the inside and now is living a life of fruitfulness that comes from a genuinely good heart. Are you there? Is that you? Maybe you're here this morning and it's very easy for you. You can say, I'm the bad apple. My life is characterized by bad fruit. There's no question. I'm going to invite you this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him touch your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the one who thinks, well, I've been good, but you can't say that you've had that encounter with Christ that has truly changed your heart. I want you to have an opportunity to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, if you name the name of Christ, then your life should be marked by the good fruit. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong. Maybe you just became a Christian recently and you're a baby Christian. You know, even as a baby Christian, your appetites change. Your desires change. You're going to see things about your life that you want to see change. And that should happen. There should be a noticeable difference. There should be a noticeable change in desire. Christian, can I exhort you this morning to let your fruit show? To allow God to continue to make you a fruitful person. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How are you going to bear more fruit as a Christian? Simple. You must remain in Jesus Christ. Abide in him. Nurture your relationship with Jesus Christ. It all comes through him. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As Christians, if you want to be fruitful, you walk by the Spirit, which means you walk your life, you live your life day by day, moment by moment, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence in your life. You'll be fruitful. Christian, can I exhort you this morning to, above everything else in your life, protect your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Watch what you put into your heart. Keep good stuff there. And then, Christian, in order to stay fruitful and full of joy, confess your sins when you make a mistake, when you blow it. Go to your Lord regularly and confess your sins and ask for His forgiveness and cleansing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christians are not perfect. There's no doubt about that. But they do live a life that could be characterized as good. And the other thing about a Christian is that when they blow it, they'll admit it. They'll be broken over it. And they'll come to Christ and confess it. And want to be cleaned up and want to get back up on the road. The good fruit is much better than the bad fruit. Right? I mean, the difference is so... it's so radical. The bad is so ugly. The good is so beautiful, satisfying, heavenly. Let's live like that. Let's live like heaven. Let's all bow our heads and let's close our eyes. I want to bring you to a moment of decision this morning. I want you to be as honest as you possibly can with yourself and before God. What does the fruit of your life point to? And even really the most personal question that only you know. Has your heart been touched by Jesus Christ? Has your heart been transformed by the Son of God? Have you made that decision? Have you confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's your Savior? Have you invited Him into your heart? He makes your heart good. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, then I'm going to invite you to do that right now. And I'm going to invite you to indicate that simply by raising your hand high so I can see it. I don't want you to be embarrassed by anyone else. People's heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And actually, this shouldn't be something that you should be embarrassed about. This is the most important thing you can do in life. Would there be anyone here this morning who needs to invite Christ to be their Savior right now, maybe for the first time? Would you raise your hand high so I can see it? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't refuse His voice. Raise your hand high. Father, I just pray. Lord, I almost feel in my spirit people struggling. I ask, Lord, that there wouldn't be one person that would leave this morning
who hasn't come into a relationship with you. Break away the stubbornness. Take away the pride. Father, as your people, we give you our hearts afresh this morning. Take them. Do with them what you will. Transform us. That we might be wonderful witnesses for you, and that we might live the life that you have for us. A life of abundance and joy. True peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask us all to stand and we'll sing a last song, but